Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach and author. My passion is mentoring introverts, advocates and authors, helping them to have the confidence to step up and share their message with those who need to hear it. I'm calling from sunny Queensland, Moray Field in Queensland this morning, and my guest is actually going to be from Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, so we're going to be quite national in Australia today. Now, don't forget to call in North America and listen in. Just call in on 646-716-7979, and for those outside North America, just go onto the link, http://tobtr.com/9569963. Follow the links and listen in. If you've got your questions, call in from North America, questions from outside, double those links and put them into the chat. And of course, you can always message me and PM me on Facebook, and I'll pass your questions on to our guest. Now, our guest speaker, as I said, is a Melbourneite from Victoria, here in Australia. Name is Fred Gillen. Now, Fred is an online marketing strategist and authority, a public speaker and an author, and I'm delighted to have Fred with me here this morning in Australia. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Trish. Thanks for the invite. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. We're going to have a great chat, and I'll be coming back to speak with Fred shortly, and on how he helps business owners to attract more clients using the power of the internet to grow their business. And that's where we are today. So I'm looking forward to our chat. Before we come back to Fred, we're going to look at, as usual, a frequently asked question. Now, the one that I've received this week, it's all about humour. Why is humour a great tool to use in public speaking? Because you'll hear people say, if you add a bit of humour, you can connect with the audience and use some humour in your speaking. So why does it work? Well, it works because when you laugh and you laugh together, it creates a bond with your audience. So being able to add a little bit of a humour, maybe a little bit of a joke, an anecdote or a little bit of a funny story at the beginning, just relaxes everybody and it makes that connection. And you're ready to get in and the audience is ready to take on your message. However, a word of warning. It can be a two-edged sword. Humour needs to be natural and not forced. Now, I know because if I try to be funny in my speeches when I'm doing my presentation, it really doesn't work. So I've just got to relax and just let it come naturally. When I do, I have some humour coming through. Now, the easiest way is self-deprecating humour. That's me, a little bit of a joke at yourself. And that works well because no one really gets offended. You're poking a little bit of fun at what's happening with you, some of the things that have happened in my life, some little funny incidences which I can share, which were also relevant, though. Because that's the other thing. It needs to be appropriate and relevant to your speech or to your audience. So some speeches will lend themselves to adding humour and making that connection. Other speeches, not so much. So you need to be aware of that. And as I said, don't try too hard. If you try too hard, it won't work and you lose that authenticity. And those who've been listening into my shows over the last few months will realise that most everybody says the top characteristic for speakers is being genuine and authentic. So if you try to be too humorous or try to do humor that you're just not working or comfortable with you, you lose being genuine and authentic. So relax. If you've got a bit of humor in there, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine as well. And it will just come as you get more confident with speaking. So think about humor, but do it appropriately and let it come naturally. As usual, I'll be sharing tips and techniques and strategies each show. So if there's something you would like answered, just email me on info@trischel, trischel.com.au, or send me a PM on Facebook, then tune into the next show to hear your answer. Now let's meet our guest, Fred Gillen. Fred, as I said, is an online marketing strategist from Melbourne, Victoria, in Australia. He's a global expert with decades of street smarts and business experience that he brings to his clients. Fred assists small business owners to understand whether their online marketing is working for them, and that includes their website. He's also, as I said, a recognized public speaker and a published author. And we're probably going to talk to Fred a little bit more about his book later on. So, Fred, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic, Trish, and it's really welcome the opportunity, and hopefully we can give your listeners a good session today.
Oh, it always is a good session, and I have no doubt that we'll have some fantastic tips. So how about you just share with us a little bit about who is Fred and what does Fred do?
Oh, good question. I suppose it's really who is Fred today, because I've had a varied upbringing and career interest. I started out my career and corporate life as an electrician, as an apprentice, and then for my own electrical contracting company. Got into retail in the 80s, selling PCs when they were very expensive and there was a good margin and that stuff in it, and then developed into consultancy in the same arena. So and now I'm predominantly online, so I used my street smarts that I've learned over the years to help small business owners understand what they need to do, with no BS involved. We just tell them how it is, and some people like it, some don't, but we generally point people in the right direction.
Oh, great. And so what would be a day in the life of Fred be like down there in Victoria?
At the moment, I've got a pretty relaxed lifestyle because we've got, we're empty nesters, and we try and spend as much time with the family and kids. So I try and limit the time. Hours are all over the place because we, like you, we deal with clients all over the world now, globally. So we try and schedule our time around the client, so to speak, and then work time in valuable family time in there as well, because I really enjoy spending time with my grandkids. So when the kids ring, usually I run and block out that portion of time on the day. So really my day is touching base with current clients, being their accountability partner and helping them to analyze their business, see where they're going and keep them on the right track, and then hopefully meeting my grandkids on a regular basis. So that's pretty much how I try to plan my day.
Sounds wonderful, and isn't it brilliant when you can have an expertise and a business that allows you to do that sort of thing? So what do you love most about your job, about the business?
Oh, look, it's really the end result. Like sometimes, when you get talking to a client and it's the initial stages, they're usually, I will use the word defensive. I wasn't going to, but I'll use the word defensive because I'm not sure what you're going to bring to the table or what your skill sets are or what's going on. But what gives me the buzz is at the end of the interaction or whatever, suddenly you see the light bulb go on and you see that person change. And they know that their business is going to do well, and then suddenly they become relaxed and forward thinking. So it's it's that light bulb that goes on in the client's eyes. That's what gives me my buzz, and that's what I really enjoy.
Oh, I love those light bulb moments as well. When you suddenly see that light and that shining aha moment, it really makes things worthwhile, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So How about maybe you can share a case study, just what is it like when you start to work with a client? What sort of questions do they like? What is the problem that they come to you with? It's probably wide and varied, but maybe we could just have a look at a couple so our listeners can get a feel for what Fredland's magic is?
Yeah, sure. There's I suppose one of the more recent ones is a small business owner who they're into manufacturing food products, but for a very, very precise market, and they you know, created their online presence, and they're really a manufacturer that they were a startup as well. So they're, you know, a whole heap of stuff going on, trying to get their processes in place just internally, as well as the marketing. Now I work on the marketing side, but obviously, when you do that, you have a look at internal processes as well. And what they were attempting to do was they're attempting to actually sell both retail and wholesale. And when we actually got in and analysed who their target audience really was, and obviously where their best ROI or, you know, return on investment was going to be, it turned out that they actually were better off just targeting on their wholesale or distribution networks rather than actually looking at trying to sell, you know, $50 items online and then package it up and have to mail it out. So it took a fair bit of convincing with these particular clients. But once we started putting the processes in place and analysing the results, it was very evident in the end that their target audience were the distributors and not the retail market. So that's, you know, there's things within a business that people need to look at to see where the best bang for buck is and where they're best spending their effort and time. Sometimes you've got to, you know, just stop doing something, even though you might be passionate about it because you think it's a great idea.
And that can be scary, can't it, when you suddenly realise that you've got to stop that.
Yeah, absolutely, because you've got a big investment in it. Like in your mindset, you know, you come up with this idea, you think it's great, and unless you actually sit back and analyse what's going on, and that's really where we come from. It's really gets down to the analytics, and not just Google Analytics, but general analytics on what's happening within your business, where your clients are coming from, what kind of clients they are, what their average spend is, where they're going. But if you've come up with, as with this client, you know, they had a passion to sell retail because they felt that everybody needed this product in their kitchen, you know, to help their meals and make their food taste better. And they were passionate about getting this stuff out there, and that's all they thought about was the retail side of it. But when you actually sit back and you say, yeah, but okay, you could still fulfill that need, but what's the best way of doing it? And, you know, what we analysed in the end was that they were better off going selling bulk to major distributors who then could get their product out and get it on the table, and that's now working quite well.
So what sort of pointers did you get them to switch over or to expand what they were doing?
Well, we then started to target, because with their target audience that they perceived, they were targeting retail and, you know, Facebook and doing stuff like that just to try and get the normal consumer engaged with the product. But once we turned that around, suddenly it made it a lot easier to go after local distributors, you know, even distributors that sourced restaurants, that would supply restaurants, so they could get their product into restaurants that really boost their sales. So they were selling more product but less transactions, if you get my drift. So they were, you know, they might be selling 100 items at a time instead of selling one at a time, which made it a lot less effort on their behalf. And the packaging changed because suddenly what they sold in bulk wasn't the same packaging. So they reduced a lot of costs in all of that as well. Just the production cost changed dramatically as well because they weren't creating all these small packs. So there's a lot of stuff went on in that. But it all gets down to, you know, write down exactly what's going on in your business, write down to the minor procedures, and then start to really look at whether it's needed, if you're getting benefit out of it, if you can expand it or scale it to get more. So it gets back down to write down exactly everything you're doing. And it might sound ridiculous, but unless you know what you're doing, you've got no idea what results you're getting from it.
Oh, it's funny you should show that, because it's the same sort of thing when I'm talking to my speaking clients. I say, if you want to do a presentation, you really need to know where you want to go, what your message is, and how you want to take your audience and what you want them to take away. So it really translates well, and you're saying exactly the same thing. you can't really get your business going anywhere unless you know exactly what you're doing in your business. And I think it's brilliant that you're coming in and shining a light on that and helping people, because sometimes it needs someone from outside to see that, doesn't it?
And that's a good point, because really, if like my initial conversation with a business owner is, well, what do you think is wrong with your business? And they actually know. And then the next question is, well, what do you think we should do? And they'll actually tell you. So, you know, it's not rocket science. Normally the client, all you've got to do is get that information out of the client. Like I don't necessarily know an individual business when I go in, but there's all common threads within that business and marketing or processes or procedures. And if you have a conversation with a client, and you've done this too, Trish, you can actually...
Yeah.
By talking to the client, you can take out what's within their brain. They already know this stuff subconsciously. They just don't want to admit to it. But in a conversation, you can actually take that stuff out, get it on the table, and then you even get the client to come up with the answers, because there's no good me coming in telling people what to do. They've actually got to tell me what's the right thing to do, and it's just getting that conversation happening.
And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is get that conversation started. In that respect.
Yep.
So the first thing your clients need to understand about their online marketing is understand their business. Correct?
Yep, 100%. They've got to understand. And there's two things. One is obviously they've got to understand what they're selling and why they're selling it. And then they've got to niche down. And it's a common word in internet marketing, no matter where you are, what genre you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got to niche down and find their ideal client and their avatar, you know, whatever that might be. Whether it's age, demographic, location, what type of stuff they like and dislike. So they've got to get that down. And the one tip I'd give current listeners is that if you've got a really good client at the moment and they're producing a lot of your income and a lot less of your stress, then what you need is you need more of those clients. And that's the audience you need to go after. If you've got clients that are actually a pain in the butt and give you all the grief and take up all your time, well, you need to decrease those clients and basically sack them, because they're taking up a lot of your time that you could be spending looking for your ideal clients. So, you know, have a look at your best clients, have a look at your invoice book, check out who's giving you the most return on your time and the least amount of hassle, and go for more of those clients. You know, that's one tip that can get any business rolling in the right direction real quick.
And listeners, that's pure gold right there from Fred, because that's if you just take that one thing away from the show today and implement it, you're going to be that much further along than others in your business. And then if you can't do it and you're not too sure how, I'm sure Fred's going to tell you later on how you can get in touch with him and he can help you with that. Fred, I just wanted to touch a little bit on examples of online marketing. What suggestions, and when we talk about online marketing, what are we talking about? And is it the same for every business or different for every business?
It's different for every business, because it gets back down to online. Any marketing is based on attracting the right people to your business so that they purchase a product or service or whatever it might be. So online marketing is just taking that from the printed form and putting it up online in whatever forums. And that's probably the biggest thing, because now there are, you know, multitude of forums to attract clients. You've got Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and Snapchat and LinkedIn and, you know, a ton of different mediums. And one of the big mistakes that people make is they go for all of them. So they'll try and get out in every one of the mediums and hope that they're going to, you know, it's like a scattergun effect. They blast this scattergun out there and hope they're going to hit something. And it's not really the right approach. So the online marketing, it gets down to looking at who your client is, find out where they hang out, and hang out in that space as well. So, you know, it's definitely not the same for everyone. For example, a lot of, if your target audience are predominantly female, then usually Snapchat and Pinterest are probably the way, you know, and without knowing a person's business, I'm generalizing here, but they're mm-hmm. probably the two portals that you would use. If it's corporate, and then LinkedIn is obviously a good place to be. Facebook, you know, the jury's out. You've got to paid ads on Facebook work, but setting up, you know, blog posts and stuff, a lot of work, a lot of maintenance. So, you know, you've got to be careful. Once you start a blog, you've got to make sure that you've got the resources and the, you know, the willing and the mindset to keep it going. Because there's nothing worse than starting a blog and then a month later you decide this is not working and you stop it. You know, bad reputation travels a lot faster than good reputation.
Talking about the blog, you do suggest that for some of your businesses. And it doesn't have to be every week, does it? As long as it's just consistent.
Your readers will get used to whatever it is. It's the same with email marketing. Some industries warrant it every day. Others might be down to a week and others could be once a month. So it's not one thing fits all. You've got to look at who you're talking to and put yourself in their shoes and see, you know, like for example, if it's a food industry and you're putting out recipes, then a recipe a day is probably a great idea. But if you're talking to CEOs or, you know, CFOs, they don't want to be hassled every day with an email from somebody telling them how to do stuff. So, you know, it's looking at, put yourself in the person's shoes. Just have a look and see if you were doing what they're doing, how often would they want to be see your communication? If it's somebody that's online in the domestic market, you know, that it's Facebook, then yes, you know, Facebook posts, Facebook Live, they all work. But it gets down to understanding who you want to promote to and who you want to engage with and who you want to set up a relationship with.
Agree. And then that's really the foundation of everything is knowing your business and knowing your client. And probably the two things that most people fall down on, and especially startups, wouldn't you agree? Let's talk a little bit about startups, Fred. They have a bit of a problem because they try to do everything and be everything for everyone, don't they?
Yeah, and it's like, again, you know, when you ask somebody the question, well, who is your client? They'll say, oh, everyone. And, you know, somebody else has used this analogy before, but I'll actually say it. So you'd have a local restaurant that's in the local shopping strip and you've asked the question, well, who's your client? Who do you want to get in the door? And they'll say, everyone. I said, so we'll run your next Facebook ad in India. Will that work? Right? So it's not everyone. You've got to get, if you understand your client, and really it's, you know, with the restaurant, it's local based, so it's a nice, easy target audience. Yes, you'll get visitors from overseas and stuff, but predominantly you want to fill your restaurant with local individuals that come back regularly, because repeat clients are easier to, you know, address and look after than new clients. New clients are hard to get, no matter what industry you're in. So, you know, look after the clients you've got and make sure you give them exactly what they're looking for and a little bit more as well.
How many mediums do you think a business should really be on? I know we're looking and saying find your clients and find where they are. Do you have any sort of guidelines, though, in focus on one, focus on two, or just focus where you need to?
You want to find the one that works, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And if you can find one that works, then that's where you put your effort in. You know, you can maintain. It's a lot easier to maintain one avenue of, you know, resources or marketing or whatever than it is to maintain 10. Obviously, it's trial, you know, test, trial, tweak, and whatever. So, you know, you might start out. I definitely encourage people to concentrate on one initially, because if you spread your effort over two, and you make changes somewhere, then it might be difficult to understand what those changes are impacting on. Once you've got one organized, then yes, you can then bring in the second one. And once you've got that tweaked and operational, you bring in a third or fourth or whatever that might be moving forward. But certainly, you know, just because somebody says that, oh, you need to try Instagram or you need to try Snapchat, and it may well work, but what you need to do is you need to understand what's working now. And this is a big one, because a lot of people, if I ask tomorrow, well, you know, what's happening on your website? And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, how many visits do you get? What are they doing? What are they looking at? What pages are they going to? What buttons are they clicking? And you get this blank face. people just don't know. Well, if you don't get that little bit basic stuff organized first, what's the point in driving more traffic? Because you could be spending money on advertising, on Facebook ads, driving heaps of traffic to your website, and it's all going into a black hole. Nobody's doing what you think they should be doing. So, you know, first thing to do is understand, if you're doing online marketing, whatever page you're driving to, find out what's happening when they get there before you start spending heaps of dollars on, you know, bringing in more advertising or increasing your spend.
And a very good point that is, how can we do that? Is there something that's easy or simple that just the business owner can do it? Or is it something that we have to get an expert in for?
I'm just trying to think of the answer to that, because it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it depends on how good the person is or how much they want to do. I'd always encourage business owners to outsource whatever it is, whether it's their bookkeeping or, you know, their other small tasks within their business, so they can get on and work in their business, and, you know, or on their business rather than in it. So getting back, but there are certainly tools out there that a business owner, the DIYer, who, you know, do-it-yourselfer, what they can do. Mm-hmm. The first one is obviously Google Analytics. So they need to have Google Analytics on their website so they can get reports. And reports, once they're set up, can be delivered regularly, you know, automated, and Google do all that. It's all free. So you can get some basic analysis of what's happening on your website, how many visitors are coming, what search terms they use to get there, how long they're staying on a page, you know, what other pages they're visiting. And then you can start sitting back and saying, oh, hang on, they're going to our order page and they're dropping off. Why? Or they're coming to our front page, looking at the front page, and they're gone in 2 seconds or 3 seconds. Why? So those kind of things. But you need to have a look at that right up front to get an understanding before you'd even start looking at, you know, trying to attract tons of traffic, so that when you get that all tweaked up and at least you're getting conversions when somebody comes to your site, then yes, you can ramp up your advertising spend. And advertising is, I shouldn't use that word, I should say investment, because advertising should not be a spend, right? You should get return on investment. And if you're spending money and not getting a return on investment, then two things are wrong. One of two things are wrong. Either where people are going to is not set up correctly, or what you've got on your ad is not congruent with what people expect when they get to your website. So those things need to be aligned. But the first thing to do is understand exactly what's going on in your website and what you need to tweak to get your conversions happening before you look at attracting more people.
Great. So first thing, Google Analytics, and it's free. People can go and find that and just get that incorporated into their website, an easy thing to do, Fred?
Absolutely. And there's, you know, for the people who want to do it themselves, there's a ton of stuff up on YouTube, you know, how to install it. Google Search Console, which used to be Webmaster Tools, is part of that. You know, that needs to be installed. Google provide all this stuff at no cost. It's the setup and the ongoing, I suppose, getting the reports and analyzing them and understanding what they mean is part of that equation as well, because you can get all the reports in the world and, you know, in a spreadsheet or a PDF or whatever format it might be. But if you don't understand what it means and what you need to do to get that next week's report to change in the right direction, it's all a waste of time. So, but there are tons of, you know, YouTube videos up there, self-help videos, just Google Analytics on YouTube, and it'll set you in the right direction.
Excellent. We might just take a short little hold on that at the moment, and I'll be back with you shortly because we can discuss a little bit more on analysing our websites and where we're going. So, people, don't forget, you are listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. If you have questions for Fred, or if you want to just call in and listen to what's happening, and we're having a really great discussion here on online marketing in North America, call in on 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America, Follow the links on the tobtr.com/9569963. Pop your questions to the chat box. Or, as always, you can get in touch with me on Facebook, PM me your questions, and I'll pass them on. We have been speaking with Fred Gillen from Melbourne, Victoria, about online marketing and what you need to do as a business to ensure that you are being as effective as you need to be and getting a return on investment. And just before we broke there, we were talking about Google Analytics and analyzing your website, which is an absolute must. And as I heard from you, Fred, it's not that hard to put it on and maybe even to be able to keep up with some of the reports. Taking that next step, you may need to bring in an expert like yourself who can help you with more of those analyzing and maybe even then giving you suggestions on what to fix. Is that would be a reasonable sum up of what we were talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And it's because and it's probably, you know, it might be worthwhile just getting, and it doesn't have to be me. I mean, there's lots of people out there. Obviously, we offer the service, but, you know, you've got somebody local that's already looking after your website. Maybe they've got the skill set, but you've got also got to be careful because a lot of web developers are precisely that. They're web developers, but they're not marketing guys. So they really can make your website look pretty and they can make it do stuff, but it may not be tweaked for the proper marketing environment. So you need to understand and get recommendations from your friends, family, or you know, colleagues, or whatever, about somebody that does know about how to analyze a website, how to look at what's happening within internally, and whatever. So you know, and then obviously, when you get the reports, once you start getting reports, you'll understand after a little bit of time, and it's not that difficult, but you'll understand a little bit of time what you need to tweak to make your website more effective.
So, good first step, and I would recommend to any of our listeners to start off on that first step. I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts on, we were talking online marketing, where does videos fit into that from your perspective?
Today, huge, because I'm passionate about videos because I believe, like, I'm more visual, and I like to see how things are done, and you know, rather than just reading a book and offline or whatever. So I love videos. And it's a lot more engaging from my perspective. And by all the analysis that's out there on the net and people talking about it, video seems to be the big thing at the moment. Like you've got lots of stuff on YouTube Live and Facebook Live. And video is really getting a good rap right now. So I believe video it's not the next thing, it's the thing today. So you certainly need, if you've got a product and you want to promote it, then why not display it in a visual format rather than just static photos? You know, whether it's you talking about it or you get somebody, that's an actor or whatever to produce a video and demonstrate your product. Or it can just be a slideshow talking about it, like a PowerPoint presentation that you turn into a video. So there's lots of ways, but certainly video engages clients a lot more effectively than having to scroll through 3 or 4 pages of text on a website. And in some cases, you can have both. So you can have, a slideshow. Oh, excuse me. You can have a slideshow on your site, but then also have the text written below. So you can have the best of both worlds.
And the thing that is coming through very, very much now, is there any particular of your clients that you've been talking to who've started using the videos and have seen a change?
Yeah, there's one client, but this is that they've got one video on their homepage, and actually, I'll mention the genre and people can search for it and they may find it, but it's basically she teaches parents how to teach their children to read. So kids that are actually, a little bit lacking behind with their classmates or whatever and feel left out, she actually teaches the parents. And she also teaches the children as home studies and whatever. But her primary focus is actually teaching parents. And she does a lot of this with initially on her website, she's got an introductory video, but then she's got an online course which you produce is with video. And again, it's interactive, you know, so that people can see what's happening rather than just reading a book about teaching a child to read. So, and that's been very effective. That was a big move. Like originally she was selling books, which she still does, and, you know, quite effectively, but she was selling books about using that concept and getting the parents up to speed and understanding and coming back to the level required to teach their children to read rather than being overbearing and trying to teach them as adults. So there was a lot of that going in, and, you know, and the videos certainly have increased her business quite dramatically.
Oh, and that's good to hear, because I do believe and I agree with you that the videos are an important aspect, but not the be-all and end-all. I think, and as an online marketing strategist, you would agree that we need to be looking at the whole picture. So just putting in videos isn't necessarily going to be all you need to do. You need to look at, as you said, your website and all the other bits and pieces of the puzzle to see which is the whole picture and what you're doing.
Yeah, and you're right. Like this client has actually built an online business. So it's not just like bricks and mortar business. You certainly wouldn't be using as many videos, but the particular lady that's teaching the children, she's actually built an online business. So she sells online courses now with videos and everything else in it. So that's added video to her business. But if she was, for example, purely wanting people to come to her bricks and mortar premises, like our studio to teach kids, then that would be a different scenario and a different setup. You may have one or two, but you certainly wouldn't, you know, be flooding your website with videos teaching people, because it's not driving people in the direction that you want them to communicate with you.
And that brings us back to what we were saying about knowing your business and knowing your client and knowing which is the best mediums to be able to share with your clients.
Yeah, and you know, you asked the question. Yeah, you asked the question earlier, like, was there, you know, one thing that fits all? And definitely not. I mean, you couldn't take one scenario and put it in a, you know, a cheat sheet or a checklist or whatever and give it to a variety of business owners and say, here, this will fix your problem. It won't. You as a business owner should know your client better than anyone else. So if you don't know that, well, that's obviously the first thing you need to fix. But if you know your client and you know where they hang out and you know who you want to do business with, well, then you need to build a process, procedures, whether it's marketing or just internal processes, you need to build those procedures around attracting those people to you. And it's about attracting people. It's not selling stuff. People don't, you know, you need to encourage people to communicate and set up a relationship with you so that they understand who you are, why you're doing what you're doing, and then obviously, you know, do business with you because they know, like, and trust you. And it gets back to the basics. People only do business with who they know, like, and trust. And if neither of those three things are there, then it's not going to work. So you need to get your avatar right, you need to get your product right, and you need to get your message right.
Avatar, product, and message. Those three things are absolutely vital to moving your business forward and getting it where it needs to. I want to talk about webinars. I know you've been looking into webinars and you've been exploring. So is this something that you recommend to businesses for online marketing, or, you know, as we said, those that might be appropriate, but are we seeing more in that line, or is it something that you've seen that it can add value to businesses?
Yeah, for the right business, absolutely. Because if you want to communicate one-on-one, then it's probably not the avenue for you. But if you want to communicate with a group of people, then webinars certainly facilitate that. So, and like a webinar, for listeners that aren't aware, but a webinar is basically an online seminar. So you can be interactive, you can actually be on screen, you can show a presentation, very similar to if you're in a normal venue where you've got an audience attending. So people that would or could present to a group of people externally at a hotel or, you know, a conference venue or something like that, webinars are probably an ideal avenue to increase their exposure and increase their business. And I'd encourage anybody to have a go at a webinar if that's your audience. But it gets back to who are your audience, what do you want to deliver, and what's the best way of doing it. If it's a group audience, then certainly webinars are a good avenue and a good method to get your message out.
And there's a variety of mediums that you can use to do your webinars, and probably the basis of another show that I might bring someone in to talk about that later on. I want to talk now just briefly about the book you've written and how that came about and what effect that's had on you and your business.
Yeah, sure. It's probably 4 or 5 years ago. I just came up with the idea of, because one of my passions is actually sharing knowledge, not just mine, but from other people. So, you know, getting a community of experts together and sharing their knowledge with both my clients and then sharing my knowledge with their clients. So it's a mix. But about 5 years ago, I had a chat with a friend of mine over a coffee, and I said, why don't we get together and get some, you know, insights from other small business owners, and predominantly in Australia, small business owners, and get their insights on how they got into business, why they were in business, and, you know, how they developed. And that evolved into a compilation book, which was Smart Business, Smart People. So it was 14 authors, all small business owners, two and three man type businesses, telling out why they got into business, how they got into business. And I obviously have a chapter in that. So I produced a chapter in that. And suddenly it gave me the status of being a published author. And because it's up on Amazon, you can, you know, safely use the phrase of an internationally published author. And it opened up a lot of opportunities for me, both with, you know, getting in and talking to other people and speaking at venues. So for me, it was like a door opener. It wasn't really the sales of the book we were after. It was a marketing tool that we were using, and it certainly worked in that vein. So it's like an elaborate business card, if you will. So for my clients, every one of my clients gets a copy of my book, and I just hand it to them. So there's no sale involved. It's like if I... And it's that usually at the initial conversation. So it might be that, we haven't even set up an arrangement, and I'm hoping they're a client, so they're a prospective client. At the end of that conversation, the last thing I'll do is I'll dip into my bag and I'll put out a copy of the book and I'll sign it for them, and just give them a nice little intro on the front cover or inside cover of the book, welcoming them on board. And then they get to read my story and understand who I am, along with the other 13 authors as well.
Absolutely excellent. I've had a few authors and publishers on the show in the last few months, and we've been really talking to people about how books are, you need to have a book, and everybody has a book inside them. And the way that you're saying here and sharing how that has helped you is highlighting why we talk to people about getting that book out and then speaking about it and using it as that big business card to go to your expertise and the subject matter expert that you are. So any plans for another one, Fred?
Oh, it's funny you should say that.
Online marketing?
I was actually just talking to another client earlier today, and we were just, the topic of the book came up, and I introduced it. So I'm contemplating maybe pulling together, not necessarily a book for myself, but perhaps another compilation book, where we'll get another 14 or 15 business experts and get them to tell their stories and hopefully help people understand how they too can succeed. So it's wasn't on the cards yesterday, but other conversation today, I'm thinking about it.
Stay tuned. Now, there's something else that you've just started and launched, and it's like a podcast, isn't it, that you've been starting to launch out there. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yep, certainly. Yep. It's again, it's about sharing the message and not just my message, but other people's. So it's a little bit like this show. We've got launched a online radio show where I interview experts that share their knowledge and wisdom with our listeners. And it's radio.abi.com.au. And it's Australian based, but there are international experts on there as well. Like we've Quite a few have actually come from the US. So the reasonable amount of content is relatively new. It's started just on 2 months ago. We've got about 20 interviews up or 20 plus interviews up there at the moment, and doing interviews daily. So, and then I publish them up. So, you know, two things. If anybody's an expert and want to share their knowledge and wealth, feel free, contact me. And if anybody wants to get some knowledge and understand what the other experts are doing, have a listen to the show. Similar to this, I'd encourage anybody to, you know, really dive in and listen to a lot of webinars, podcasts, radio shows, because if you can come away with one nugget just for listening to 20 minutes or half an hour of a podcast, certainly worth your time.
And that's the value that we've got from our show, which is a live show. Yours, and my point out, is not live, it's recorded and then replayed. So there's a variety of ways of listening and getting information. You've got live shows like this one, which we do, and we have a wonderful group of experts who present their show. And then you've got ones like Fred's doing, where you can he's got interviews you and then he puts them up later. There's a wealth of information out there, and we've been listening to Fred today on online marketing. Fred, we're coming close to where we might have to wrap up, unfortunately, because we could be speaking all day. What sort of lessons have you learned, or insights, a major lesson, major insight that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I suppose one of the biggest ones is that a lot of people are trying to do everything. So, you know, they're trying to run their business, they're trying to run their marketing, they're trying to run their online, they're trying to run their social media, they're trying to do everything. And you really just can't do that. If you look at the business processes, you'll find everybody is encouraging people to outsource your accounting or outsource your bookkeeping and get back into business. Well, I'd encourage people to do the same with their online marketing. Yes, understand and be across everything that's going on. But once you get to that stage, then, you know, give it to somebody else. Let the experts manage that portion of it. That's what experts are for. And it's not a spend, as I said earlier, it's an investment. And as long as you can get a return on that investment, it's money well spent.
Thank you for sharing that, and I would heartily endorse that. Who has been your biggest motivator, mentor, or person that has had a big influence on your life?
Oh, gee. I suppose from an online perspective, I follow Frank Kern is one of my mentors that I follow from online marketing perspective. From a human perspective, I suppose Nelson Mandela. I've often been asked a conversation, who would I like to have a conversation with over dinner? And he certainly fills that need. So they're probably the two people that come to mind straight away.
So what would be the biggest question that you would ask Frank Kern over dinner?
Oh dear. God, that's you've thrown that one at me.
Chapman Fish, we have fun.
I've got it. I'd ask him, what do I need to do to excel my business?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd put it back on him. Right? So he and obviously his answer would be, well, I'll have to have a look at it first. So he couldn't give me an answer straight away.
But it would be a good conversation starter.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because I know his first question would mean, well, what's happening now? And unless you know what's happening now, there's no point in doing anything to change it.
What's happening? And let's throw another curly one at you. What do you think is trending at the moment? Where should we be going with our online marketing?
I'm not going to answer that directly because I get back to the original. There's no point in looking at any of the trends unless it's appropriate for your business.
Very good.
Facebook is all over the place. People are screaming about it and saying, you know, Facebook Live is the place to be. But unless you know your business, know your target, know your product, it may not be the place for you.
And that's a really good answer. It's the same thing I speak about when I'm mentoring my clients and speaking in their presentations. It really does come back to knowing who you are and who your audience is. Okay, which leads me to one of my questions which I ask all of my guests, and that is, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
I suppose it's somebody that engages their audience, has empathy with their listeners, so they understand who they're speaking to, and can relate, and then take the audience on the journey that they want to be on. So it's engagement, would be my answer.
And if you aren't engaged, you can't get the message across. It's very true. People will turn off and leave, and that's probably the same with your online marketing. If you don't engage with your businesses and their businesses don't engage with their clients properly, then they're going to lose clients. So it's a similar cross-purpose, speaking or being in business. Yeah.
It is. It's all about relationships. You need like, it's like a marriage. If you don't work on it, it's gonna fail. So, and my clue for there is two words: yes, dear.
Oh, Fred, I'm not even going to touch that one, darling. I'll leave that right there.
Well, it's worked for me. I mean, we're 38 years married, so it's obviously worked for me.
Absolutely, I'll give you that. And I have to just point out that yes, dear, is actually appropriate for either side. There's no gender attached to that. No gender.
I don't know
all.
Whether I'd even suggest that to my better half, but there we go.
Oh, we might just put a stop there and just say,
sure.
Fred, can you share where people can get in touch with you, or do you have anything that you would like to offer to them?
Yeah, certainly. It's real easy. It's the easiest way to get me is at my website, which is fredgillen.com. That's with a GILLEN.com. If any of the listeners go there, we've got a group of online courses which are, you know, teach people about Google Analytics, teach them about YouTube, teach them about stuff that we normally sell for $97. But if anybody goes there and emails me and tells me that they've actually listened to the show, they can have their choice of any of those courses, and I will give them a 100% discount code.
Oh, how genius is that, listeners? Make sure you take Fred up on that offer, especially for the Google Analytics. It's something that we've just notified and highlighted as important to your website. So if he's got a course on that and he's prepared to give you 100% off, I would be getting there and breaking my fingers on that email right now. Okay. Fred, I've absolutely enjoyed listening and speaking with you today. We've covered a wide variety of topics, and I think, as we've said, we've come out of that, the one thing, and that was the tip at the beginning, and it's the one that you've come back to all the way through. Know your business, know your clients, and then if you need help, see someone like Fred or someone else on online marketing to take that next step. Fred, I very much enjoyed it. Thank you very much for being with me today.
No, it's been a pleasure, Trish. I've really enjoyed it, and maybe we can do it again sometime in the future.
I'll have you down on my list, and yes, because a lot more we could cover, and we will see if we can book another one in the future. Okay.
That's right.
We've been speaking with Fred Gillen, an online marketing strategist from Melbourne, Victoria. Fred has given us some great information on what we need to be doing on our online marketing side and how we should be analysing our business. And he's also given us a really great, a good offer. So if anybody emails Fred, mentions they've listened to the show, he's prepared to give them 100% off one of the online courses on his website. Now, just before we finish the show, as usual, I'm going to finish with a quote. And I've actually got two quotes today because I really couldn't decide. And I thought they were both pretty appropriate. So the first one is, ignoring online marketing is like opening a business but not telling anyone. Now, I think that just about sums up our whole discussion today. And I searched, but it's been given and credited to Anonymous. So that anonymous person has managed to have a very great quote, which is often used, and I've seen it all over the place, but I think is extremely pertinent. You don't want to open your business and not tell anyone. So you should be exploring every means possible to reaching the right people you need to reach. Now, the second quote, and as everybody who's been listening knows, I'm all about getting outside your comfort zone. The second quote says, your comfort zone is a place where you keep yourself in a self-illusion and nothing can grow there. But your potentiality can grow only when you can think and go out of that zone. So think about it, people. I've mentioned, and if you're ever on following me on Facebook, you will have seen a video. And if you look at my blog post, you'll see I have read about complacency and comfort zone and how you've really got to move outside that comfort zone to grow. Now, that quote was by Rashida Ryan Raman. And I'm leaving you with those two quotes. If you're thinking about your business, you need to get online marketing. And if you're worried about that and not sure how to do it, you need to step outside that comfort zone and push yourself forward. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. If you need to contact me, you can do so on info@trishel.com.au. You can connect with me on Facebook, Trishel Innovative Communication Training, or just put Trish Springsteen in and look for the purple person. And if you would like to have a complimentary 15-minute Skype session with me or book me to speak at one of your events or online summits or meetings, you can go to my website, trishspringsteen.com, and just fill in the form there, and I'd love to have a discussion with you. Speak with you in a my next show, and have an absolutely awesome evening or awesome day wherever you are. Catch you later. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.